Genesis reveals a hidden story. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search a matter out. John 21:25. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that should have been written about him. From Genesis, the whole story of the ages is embedded in plain sight. Woven into the account of creation, the desire of the ages is portrayed. God revealed his heart in plain sight. God created Adam in his image, not just in his form. Not just the way that Adam looked, but the desires of God himself are also in Adam. God formed Adam for the resolution of good versus evil. Two trees in the middle of the Garden of Eden testify to this: the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. One represented eternal life through obedience. The other represented death by a disobedience. Adam was created to feel, understand, and know God intimately. It is God's desire to be understood, as evidenced by the word where it says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And then we go on to see that God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." Paradise was created to define the things that God only knows, to teach them to another, for all to see. It is not good for a man to be alone. This clearly defines God's intentions. When God created Adam, he created one of a kind, just like himself. And it's written, "Who is like the Lord our God?" And again, "There are none like him." He also said this situation needs to change by making the statement, "It is not good for man to be alone." To make this abundantly clear, God has also created everything that had breath to find a mate for Adam. This presents a picture of God and a heavenly host of beings, none of whom were found adequate for becoming a mate of God. God introduced Adam to every kind of creature that he made. One by one, Adam paid enough attention to them that he was able to name them each and every one. Yet not one was found suitable to be a mate. Adam, like God, was not able to share his innermost being with someone like himself. God revealed through the absence of a mate the essence of his desire. God himself has a desire to be fruitful and multiply, as he has commanded everything that he created to do so. God created Adam himself with the dust of the ground, and with his own breath, he made him a living soul. The rise of the bride. Adam was perfect, and by proxy, he demonstrated what God intended for himself. It was out of perfection that fruitful multiplication ignited. God created a mate for Adam out of Adam's own body. From a rib, God formed Eve, the firstborn among many, a perfect mate. The desire of the ages has begun. There was perfect chemistry. The first look into each other's eyes must have been a satisfaction that the world has yet to repeat. God has revealed his deepest desire, a bride without spot or wrinkle, one capable of sharing unity and perfect balance, something that each of us deeply understands and none can achieve. But now there is also the free will and the idea of a relationship that lasts forever. The relationship between Adam and Eve is pure, but it is yet untested. God's bride also must be for eternity as a unification between a holy God and a bride who has a free will. The purpose of the forbidden fruit is to reveal why God had not created a bride for himself out of Adam in the image of himself. Sin is lurking at the door. God gave specific instructions to Adam and Eve never to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil under the penalty of death. This was an absolute fact. There was another in the garden that already had knowledge of good and evil. The serpent, who had already fallen and was against God, hissed in Eve's ear to go against God's word and eat of the forbidden fruit. And then we reach the dilemma of the ages. The dilemma is clear about the joining of perfection and free will. God is a perfect God that cannot associate with sin. How can God have a union with an equal bride that is free-willed without jeopardizing his perfect deity? Each marriage since Adam and Eve has been a constant refrain, attesting to that outcome. To remove the free will would make the bride essentially robotic. The only way to resolve this dilemma is to face sin and conquer it. Therein lies the purpose of God for all eternity. The victory of good over evil is the pathway to love everlasting. What is about to happen cannot be fathomed in a few verses. Eve had fallen, and she knew it because she now had knowledge of her sin. She must have had pause to think about what she had done and what it meant. When she got the courage to confess to Adam what she had done, the emotional event that transpired is unrivaled in human history. I believe that it's the height of understatement when we learn that Eve ate of the fruit and gave to Adam, and he also ate. Adam had just learned that the only God-given mate on earth had just been sentenced to death. There was no undoing of the mistake. Then, in the image of God, still unstained by sin, Adam made the only choice, the perfect choice. He chose to eat the fruit and leave his immortality behind. He would rather lay down his own life to be with her than to lose her. You think not? For God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Everything that has happened since and including the fall is all about the work of the only begotten Son of God and the ransom of us all. For Adam was created out of the dust and the breath of God. Jesus Christ was born of a woman's flesh with the perfect male DNA provided by God himself. From a perfect male rib, God created woman. He created the woman's DNA. He created all of the things that make human reproduction from a male rib. As the Creator, He has an intimate knowledge of the womb and all that happens in reproduction. The virgin birth was no shortcut. In human conception, the female produces half of the genetic cells and the male produces half. God, through many generations of obedience to law and feasts and sacrificial offerings, was purifying the human genome through the Jewish rite. There was a specific requirement of obedience passed down through generations until Mary met all of the human requirements. God then miraculously provided the male gamete to merge with the flesh at the exact time. Every gene and chromosome was present when the conception occurred. God provided the perfect deified male gamete and Mary the female gamete, fulfilling all of the law and the prophets. God created spiritual reproduction through Mary, like human production through Eve. Each in their own right gave rise to the firstborn among many, while Eve was the first vessel for the offspring of sin. Mary was the first vessel for the offspring of righteousness, removing the stain of sin forevermore. The conditions of this world reveals what God has known about sin from the beginning. God created the world for this very purpose, not just to forgive sin, but to abolish it forever. The body of Jesus Christ is the eternal bride of God, made perfect with the price of His own life. His eternal purpose from the beginning has been to receive everyone that believes this to become a member of the body of and the bride of Jesus Christ. He came to ransom everyone, including Adam and Eve, and you and me. Send an invitation to the highways and the hedges that the Lord God has taken a wife. The church is the bride. We believe that our death has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, our members of that body, the eternal and perfect bride in Him. Come and join in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who would believe that after the romance of the ages that God would deny Himself of offspring in holy matrimony? God's promise to Abraham that your descendants will be as the stars of heaven are without number will be fulfilled. It will require a universe with countless galaxies to contain the house of God, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whosoever will may come.